All right, if everybody would turn in whatever mechanism you have to Philippians chapter 2. Oh, boy. And if you find verse 5, follow along with me. We'll read down through verse 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. One question. Is that for the Philippian church only? Or is it also for the Hickory Church of Christ? You can answer. It's for us, right? We better pray. Father, we approach you because you are holy. And we need to acknowledge that to you, not to remind you, but to remind us of whose throne we're approaching. And Father, we just love to come together, be able to talk about what Jesus has done for us. We're thankful that he had the humility to take the form of a man and to become a servant, even obedient to your will, to the point of death, even death on that cross that we just remembered. Oh, that takes a lot of love. That takes a lot of sacrifice. That takes a mission to redeem a people that has been separated from you because of our sin. And oh, we want to praise you, and that's the reason why we come together, and to thank you. And then we admit that when we hear that our mindset should be that of Christ Jesus's, we admit our fault. And Father, we pray that you will lift us up as we would focus on him and follow him, so that a mindset doesn't come from man's own interpretation, that our mindset is not because of our traditions. It's because of our life following Jesus Christ. And Father, may that happen in all of our hearts. And where we need to begin, may today be the beginning. It's through him we pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And we say together, amen. I hope you don't feel that focusing on our attitude is overdone. Because our attitude seems to change day by day, doesn't it? It'll be focused in the right form and fashion. God's calling us to focus our attitude towards Him and develop a faith so that He can have spiritual growth to where us as being human beings of mankind, like Jesus became man, that in the men and the women here, we could develop the same mindset that Jesus had in our relationship with each other. I believe the first step is, in the mindset of Christ, is Christ left heaven to come to be living among us. So really, as a church family, I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong with this interpretation. I believe we need to develop a mindset that we want to be together. More often than just an hour on Sunday. And there's one way we can do that. We can do that through all different programs and try to attend all of them until we're all wore out. Or we could develop these relational groups, what we're going to call discipleship groups, to where we could at least try to share life with each other. Not just about just meeting one day a week, just like we meet one day a week on Sunday morning. It's just another night to meet. We go through a format, we're gone. I believe Jesus had to have the mindset that I'm willing to develop relationships with the created world so that I could have a message to them so that I could save them from their sin. And if we develop the same mindset, we can hear Jesus and talk to each other about what Jesus is calling us to become. So I'm going to start a series called Becoming the Attitude Of. And I want to look at Matthew 5. Because I have a feeling that a lot of times when I look at Matthew chapter 5 and I see the Beatitudes, we can kind of look down through them and say, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. But we never really get together and come together and say, how can we become this attitude together? Because from what I understand, did I read it wrong? That in our relationship with one another, we should have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So where does the mindset of Christ Jesus develop? In our relationships with one another. And how to grow with those. Now, we have the prime example of Jesus Christ being our Lord and our Savior and our model that He did pick 12. I understand there's a mission involved. I understand they were apostles. I understand all the things that they were given to do. But sometimes we miss the mark that Jesus came down in order to get the message to live among the world. He needed to be with 12 men, developing a relationship with them, so that their attitude could become more like His, so that they would be able to do the will of the Father. The only way that we're going to do the will of the Father, I believe, is to get together and talk about our relationship with one another and in developing the attitude of Jesus Christ. Talk about the hurdles. Now, we're not here to point fingers. All of us will say, I've got some attitude issues. So what we do is we just look into the mirror of the Word of God to figure out which attitudes to work on. I'm not supposed to look at your attitude problems. I'm only supposed to look at mine. You are not supposed to look at mine and pick find them, because you won't have to go very far until you find them. But what you want to hear from me is that I'm willing to have my mind changed as long as my mind is being changed to be like Jesus. I think you and I could help each other out if all of us admitted that. Every individual in this room would make a decision that when we get together, or get together as a group, and we're going to call them discipleship groups, is that we will talk to each other about and actually make a statement to each other, I want my attitude to develop into the likeness of the attitude of Jesus. And just make that statement. And then we're going to admit we need help with it. We need each other's love. We need each other. And you go down through the one another passages, we're going to carry each other's burdens. We're going to practice forbearing one another. You know, there's going to be some forbearance that's going to be needed to be developed when you're dealing with relationships. But you can say, well, Kevin, I want to be able to please God without that. I have in my mind, at least that's the way I grew up, is that I just came, did my part, gave my offering, did the five steps of whatever you describe as being worship, and then going home, and I just want left alone. I think we have to admit, Jesus didn't come down and display that. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came down as a human being and didn't take advantage of him being God. So he humbled himself to become a servant so that our mindset will develop to be like his. So his apostles' mindset would develop. When you're seeking and saving, reaching out to lost people, without having the attitude of Christ in this first beatitude, and if we don't become this first attitude, it's going to be hard for us to really spread the gospel. So let's start with the first one. In Matthew chapter 5, we begin with a first statement here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's verse 3. Now, I know Jerry had dealt with the weeks ago about the blessed, or what makes us truly happy. Well, this is more about not an earthly happiness. This is more about a spiritual one. Because I guarantee you, there's going to be some things that's going to make God happy that's going to make people mad. And depending on who we're willing to please is probably will determine what we do and what we don't do. Now, we've heard the we have a hard time seeing any kind of blessing in someone being poor. Anybody have a hard time with that? A person who is poor in spirit is a person who has realized that they have nothing to offer to God but a broken and contrite heart. That's all we can offer. I can't do enough for him. I can't win enough for him. I can't attend enough assemblies for him. But when I come to him with a broken and contrite heart, he will be pleased because he won't despise it. And then I can be pleased because the Father is pleased. The poor in spirit are those people who have learned not to trust in themselves or their own abilities. But poor in spirit people have learned to trust solely and completely upon God. Now, how do we do that? Here's where your notes come in. So turn your family news to the back. If you want to take notes, that's fine. That's what those blanks are there for you to fill out. Number one, how do we become an attitude of being poor in spirit? The first, I believe, step is this. We need to understand and also accept our spiritual poverty. We need to understand and accept our spiritual poverty. See, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I don't have a realistic view of myself. Especially in a spiritual realm. I grew up thinking that if I didn't drink, and if I didn't smoke, and if I didn't cuss, and if I didn't date girls who do, I'm fine. I'm just a good old boy. That doesn't really get me to understand where I'm at spiritually. I thought I was fine because I went to church, quote unquote. I participated in the function. I was taught how to lead a song. I was taught how to blow a pitch pipe. And since I didn't understand that, I quit. I never did start it on the same note that I blew. But I thought I was fine. I got dunked in a pool of water because I was told you need to do that or you'll go to hell. And sometimes we just don't look at ourselves in a very truthful way. Where are we spiritually? Sometimes we look at our lives in comparison to other people. We decide we're just not bad after all. You know, I could come to this campus every day and say to God, I'm so glad I'm not like the people that's going into McLeod. And yet, those are the people that God wants to try to win. And when we compare ourselves with God, we realize that we fall well short of His standard, no matter who we are and what we have ever done in our own accomplishments. Everybody knows the name C.S. Lewis, right? Either by writer or by the movies. Here's a quote that he had jotted down by someone. He says, when a man is getting better, he understands more and more clearly the evil that is still left in him. So when you start seeing clearly the evil that still remains in you, that needs to be worked on and get out of your life, that's a man, he's saying, that's getting better. When a man is getting worse, what happens is he understands that his own badness becomes less and less. And really what C.S. Lewis is trying to say to us is saying that and compared to God, I'm always going to have an area that I need to spiritually grow. It's when we come to the point to where we feel like we're done growing and I don't need to grow anymore, so I cease even trying, that's when we're in bad shape. See, Jesus teaches a parable in Luke chapter 18. I want you to go there with me in Luke chapter 18. This is where we're going to spend most the rest of the time together. Luke 18, starting in verse 9. And I want you to just listen to what Jesus has to say. And I believe this will help me, it'll help you in our relationships with one another, how to develop the mindset of Christ of being poor in spirit. Now, starting in verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, like robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus goes further and says, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, went home justified before God. Because for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God can use people who humble themselves. He cannot use the haughty. He just can't. Because it's more about them. When Kevin gets to where I think that I might be better than somebody else, I will not serve another person. I will demand their service to me. So, here's A, B, and C. Here's what I believe we can learn in developing this attitude. From this parable, I believe we can learn this. Our positional status in life isn't what impresses God. That doesn't impress God at all. No matter if you become a king, no matter if you become a president, no matter if you become a movie star, no matter if you become a star athlete, that in itself does not impress God. There's nothing wrong with being one of those. It's just that in itself. See, because here we got two men. There's a prominent member of society, a religious leader, and an IRS agent. Both are men of high position, but men are looked upon as men of authority. Both of them were. Jesus makes no comment whatsoever concerning their status. He makes every comment about what's in their heart. Okay? So, positional status is not what's going to press God. B, feeling spiritually elite will not make us acceptable to God. Here you got a Pharisee, he's a religious man. He even says, and even it says here, that he fasts two times per week, gives a tenth of all the income back to God. Now again, there's nothing wrong with fasting. It's a spiritual discipline. There's nothing wrong with giving a tenth. As last week, I like what Brian said, that should be in our mind as a goal, the floor, not the ceiling. But in itself, how you look at yourself towards other people, fasting and tenth doesn't make us acceptable to God. Yet Jesus has nothing whatsoever to commend these men for on those two areas, or at least this man. So while church attendance, while fasting, while giving financially to the church are good things, they will not make you spiritually pure in the eyes of God unless your heart is poor in spirit. See, God, this is understanding and accepting our spiritual poverty. So see, God accepts those who in humility understands their poverty. People who are spiritually, what you would call poor in spirit, spiritually understanding of poorness, these are people Jesus described in the Beatitude. These are people like our tax collector friend who could not even bring himself to look towards God when he cried out. And when he cried out for mercy. And when he cried out, he stated he was a sinner. Jesus said that this man went home justified before God. Now, this is not a matter, please hear me on this one. This is not a matter of berating yourself or putting yourself down. It's a matter of seeing where you are in a spiritual realm. Without God, we have nothing. But without me seeing how poor I am, I won't feel like I need him. Poor people are needy people, correct? Poor people spiritually are needy of God. They have to seek for him. They have to find out what pleases him. They have to, with all energy, get up and say, it's not my will, but your be done in me today, Father. Let me have the attitude of your son as I deal with people today. Help me not to feel like I'm better than anybody else, but help me to find a way to serve somebody. That's my prayer. I need you, Father. I need you to have that attitude. I want to be like Jesus. To truly understand our spiritual poverty is able to say what Paul said in Romans 7. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but then I don't even carry it out. So he's not talking about the image that God created in you. That's all good stuff. He's talking about what evil has done in all of us. And all of it, if we say, but I'm not an evil person, you got to remember, we have an evil nature. That's what Satan tempts us. He tempts us because we have a nature that can be tempted to do something evil. And admitting that you are a sinner just admits that you have stumbled and fell. And you need God to come out of it. Number two, this will help us grow in this. Embrace the richness of God's wealth of grace. We recognize that we are spiritually poor and we have nothing to offer to God but a broken heart. But we do not want to stay in that state of poverty. No, we want to trust God enough to start feeling the riches of things spiritually. Now, what is being rich spiritually about? I believe it's understanding the grace and the mercy of the Father. There's spiritual wealth to happen. How many people do you believe in our world, how many people in our churches are still seeking financial wealth the easy way? I hope I win this. I got to get myself on Prices Right. You know, for some reason, we get a thrill out of even watching somebody else win a lot of money. But what about the rich spiritually? Oh, well, he's just trying to think he's more like Jesus than I am. That's not the mindset. The mindset of a poor in spirit says, I'm so much not like Jesus, but I want to become more like him. God's grace has given me wealth, has given me strength. And God's wealth of grace is what cures me of my poverty spiritually. Number three, I'm going to leave this one with you, this lesson with you. Number three is to enjoy the security of God's kingdom, the reign of God. Did I put the scripture text next to the ABC on your notes? Okay, I need you to go look at that, at this up, but here's what they mean. What we need to do for us to have develop a poor in spirit attitude is we know and feel secure is that we start knowing that we are citizens of the kingdom. That should bring us security. I feel good, not because I'm perfect. It's because the king is perfect and I've stepped into his realm. I have him over me. I have his grace. I have his mercy. And other people can have it too. So knowing that you're a citizen of the kingdom can bring security. B, knowing that we need not to fear the world around us. I do get concerned about where we're headed as a country. The meism is incredible. I understand the United States is not the only one that's dealing with that. I think it's the whole world. The whole world's dealing with meism. Meism has even crept into the followers of Jesus. We just got to realize that and want to get it out of our life. Because it's not all about me. See, knowing that we are secure by our faith in Christ Jesus. Faith is an action word, not a statement. A faith without deeds is dead. I follow up my faith by my serving. I think somebody had said this. I don't know if, Bob, I don't know if you said this in one of your classes or not, but somebody had said suspenders are the oldest form of Social Security. You didn't say that. Okay. So we're not talking about that kind of security that keeps us from being embarrassed or being robbed or the kind of means that we're talking about financially stable. For us to understand poor in spirit, enjoy the fact that in our following Jesus Christ, our spiritual poverty turns to God's wealth of grace. And in that grace, we find that security. So this morning, if you are here and you haven't made that commitment to that security, to that grace, become poor in spirit. I have a feeling I'm looking over a crowd of majority of people that have been baptized into Christ. But when you start looking at it, my question is, together, are we helping each other develop the attitude of Jesus? That's a pretty big question. Or are our relationships become just on the surface? When you know you're poor in spirit, you're never over somebody and they won't feel like you are. Actually, you'll get on your knees and you'll wash each other's feet. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time just to be together and open up your word, but we don't want this word to become something that just bounces off. I pray that we came with good soil today. I pray that we've come with a heart that was ready to hear a message from you, and not from Kevin, but from you. And I pray that we'll water it. I pray that we will help it to grow. We don't want the evil one to come and snatch it away and for us just to keep on having the old attitude of who I am. I pray that everybody can leave here today saying that God's given us a new year. God has given us a new week. God, you've given us a new day to develop the attitude of your son. If we make all that our goal, I pray that we'll want to be together helping each other with it. So if there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond, I pray that they'll make their way to me and let that be known. And then we can walk out of here being people that are poor in spirit. It's through Jesus Christ's name, our Lord, our Savior, that our attitude wants to become like. We say together, amen. If you need to respond.